Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you.
We will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Saints, draw your swords and stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word, and turn in your copy of the Bible to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. Fairly familiar verse, I'm sure, which says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Isaiah 33:22. "The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." Please take your seat, and thank you, my honorable brothers. And I certainly agree with Pastor French, Peter French, and all. The singing was fabulous.
Amen.
We ought to get a bus and go on the road. Now, my true confession before you this morning, I'm not politically correct.
Good, man.
Or even care to be.
Preacher, brother.
I am a lifelong Republican.
Thank God.
I worked for Eisenhower when I was in the first grade. Even still, I would not be reluctant to vote for a Democrat, a Libertarian, or any other party if I could find one who knew what it was all about.
Amen.
And let me be very clear about what I am saying. The government cannot save me. Education cannot save me. Money cannot save me. Strength cannot save me. My full toolbox cannot save me. My good looks, that's another point, cannot save me. Even I cannot save me. Only Jesus can save me. Now, well, for the righteous or the wicked to be in authority in America, it happens by voting or not voting. Elections are a basic part of how our government works. Did you know that even our form of government reflects biblical principle? Our system of checks and balances between the branches of government is based on the doctrine of the sinfulness of human beings, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. In fact, the three branches of government come from Isaiah 33:22 that we just read. The Lord is our judge, that's the judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, that's the legislative branch. The Lord is our king, that's the executive branch. It is he who will save us.
Thank you.
So voting needs to line up with biblical values. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who take our values from the Word of God should vote for candidates who best line up with those biblical values. Unfortunately, many believers don't even consider their Christian values when voting, often choosing candidates whose positions are at odds with their own beliefs, convictions, and values. Recently, a study by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life showed that 62% of Americans say their faith has little to do with their voting decisions. Well, that should not be. And we'll answer for it, that's for sure. Our founding father, Samuel Adams, said, "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country." We are accountable to God for how we vote. Again, we should vote for candidates whose values best line up with biblical values. Well, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy? A republic, if you can keep it. And that, of course, was attributed to Benjamin Franklin at the close of the first Constitutional Convention. Needless to say, America is faced with a great challenge today, a challenge that will not easily be answered or dealt with. The tentacles of socialism have penetrated our national government in the huge bureaucracy of non-elected officials and departments. These public offices have the authority to make regulations to which we as American citizens are as accountable as the laws written by Congress. The people of the United States of America, and that's why I'm wearing this hat today, founded our country from the first colonies based on self-government. And self-government means the people administer its civil government through representation of their wisest neighbors of the best character. Such service has always required sacrifice. The best early American civil representatives served only at the urging and sometimes insistence of their neighbors, as Mike shared today. A just and free republic is impossible to sustain without a biblically literate, skillful, and wise people to sustain it, precisely because it depends on self-government. A just and free republic is impossible to sustain without, well, I'm going to say it again, without a biblically literate, skillful, and wise people to sustain it, precisely because it depends on self-government. Admitting the notion of a ruling class, which is happening now because of Christian dereliction. Have you heard that said before? Christian dereliction is admitting the worst. The only hope we have in the short run is for the body of Christ to awaken to the need to educate the present generation in the content, faith, skills, and wisdom necessary to run a Christian republic from the home and church outward. Politics is inconvenient and often ugly. The answer is the people of Christ representing him and ultimately showing the socialist, Marxist, tyrant, traitors as irrelevant and also dangerous. The restoration of the American Republic starts with the house of God, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. God have mercy on us for the republic to survive. We need to have God to have mercy upon us so this republic can survive. Let us go forth to lead this land that we love, joining in the prayer of General George Washington in 1783, that God would have you in his holy protection, that he would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, without a humble imitation of whose example we can never hope to be a happy nation. America's hyper-political culture is not healthy. Neither is it functional. As America is torn into opposing factions, the division destroys our government's ability to carry out its God-given purpose. For God instituted government as his instrument of justice, and where government fails, injustice grows. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. We should be unfaithful to ourselves if we should ever lose sight of the danger to our liberties, if anything partial or extraneous should infect the purity of our fair, free, virtuous, and independent elections. John Adams, 1797. And knowledge without action is useless. John Adams' observation that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people, it is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other, was as much an exhortation to future generations of believers as it was to the declaration of the biblical mandate to his own generation. Let each citizen remember, at the moment he is offering his vote, that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not to do so, so that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. Samuel Adams, 1781. Hypocrisy and lawlessness is at an all-time high in America. Why? Because sinfulness is at an all-time high in America. It's interesting how Scripture points out about lawlessness, that where sin is prevailing, there is lawlessness. We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. And when freedom wins, we all win. When you defend our Constitution, Bill of Rights, free speech, freedom of religion, and the freedom to live and work consistently with your faith in all venues, you build a nation of civility and strength. And by the way, as we often say from Scripture, Jesus owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Jesus owns the banks on 1,000 corners. Jesus owns all the churches. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus owns everything. Amen. And everybody. Amen. It all belongs to Him.
Yes.
That's very important for us to understand today. But today's Democrat Party leaders, in their insatiable and increasingly irrational quest to recover power, have nothing to offer their constituents but fear and disunity. Democracy and socialism have nothing in common but one word, equality. But notice the difference. While democracy seeks equality and liberty, socialism seeks equality and restraint and servitude. And that was said by the French historian Alexis Tocqueville, who came to America and observed many things, like, for example, that the pulpits of America were ablaze with righteousness. Our battle is in the realm of ideas. We're in a war of worldviews. We need a biblical worldview because the extent and quality of revival or transformation will be determined by how believers view all of life from the Bible's perspective. Years ago, in a state legislature in New Hampshire, actually it was in the state Senate, there were two senators there that I was chaplain to, and they invited me to all of their meetings. They sat with open Bibles in their laps. And when they had a confusion about a certain issue, they called me for. They said, "Pastor, come forth. We need to talk to you." And they put their hands over the microphone and we discussed what the biblical principle was about the law that they were talking about. That was huge. Our founding father, John Jay, who was our nation's first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, chosen by George Washington, had this to say about our voting. "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it's the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." A lot of people don't like to hear these things, folks. That's why I told you I'm not very politically correct, and I've had many death threats from all kind of people who don't want me to talk the truth like this. American Christian patriots are there stumbling blocks of these people we're talking about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "Well, I cannot speak for you, but I'm blessed to be with the cornerstone, that they stumble on. Maybe they will repent and be saved." Amen. So be praying. Get out and vote. Take others with you to vote. As two millenniums I interviewed said, they do not care what is happening, and they are going to do nothing about it. Did you know that Saul Alinsky, you probably recognize that name, right? He worked for Al Capone's crime syndicate and Frank Nitti. You probably didn't know that. Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama were trained by Alinsky, as have been many others. So this election, November 6th, is not the end of our work. Please don't think that. This might be midterm elections. It's the beginning of a greater involvement, and we have to pull out all the stops. No more sitting home and complaining about how bad things are these days. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson, 1816. The liberal progressives like to be lax when recommending a tax. With a gluttonous heart and his brain low a quart, he will give you the shirts off our backs. On November 6th, Let's give the liberal, Democrat, progressives the best of all defeats.
Amen.
And here's what it is. Pack up and go home to where you came from. Why? Because we do care. And we are going to do something about it.
Amen.
We'll have no other king but King Jesus. And someone has stolen my country, and I am taking her back. We are taking her back.
Amen.
Now. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Beam, I have something for you.